And I could tell he was waiting for me to accost him. And I said, well, I guess that's all right. I said, do you have a car? He said, yeah. I said, is there a battery in your car? He said, well, of course. I said, don't you ever looked at that battery? He said, yeah. I said, does it have a positive and a negative? He said, yeah. I said, what if I unhook the negative? Will it run? He said, no, it won't crank if you take the negative off. It's got to run through the battery and the current and all that stuff. I said, well, you know what? The Bible's the same way. It's got a positive and a negative. And if you take the negative out, your Bible ain't going to be any good. I said, now, Joel Osteen's a positive fella. He's positive about everything. And I guess we all would be if we had a $600,000, a $6 million mansion. And he drives a $600,000 car and wears the best clothes and hobnobs with the rock stars and all this stuff. I guess anybody would be pretty well positive. But I'll tell you this, there's coming a day he's going to have to face the negative.
Amen.
And money's not going to fix everything, and the power of positive thinking ain't going to fix everything. Now, I'm not a negative guy. I'm pretty positive. I keep going when I want to quit, and I've started over when I've stopped, and I try to get people to do the same thing. But I got news for you. If you take hell out of the Bible, you might as well throw the Bible away.
Come on now.
I mean, it's just a book of philosophy without hell. I want to ask you this before I read the scriptures. Here's the question today. Why did, if you are saved, if you know you're going to heaven, why did you get saved? Well, somebody would say, well, because I found out God loves me. Yeah, but if, why would you get saved when you found out God loved you? Then somebody would teach you that there was something wrong with you. Why do you need a savior?
There you go.
Well, the answer is, Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's just the beginning. That's why we have so many fools in Washington. They don't fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and that's where you learn to fear God. Now, why would I fear God if there was no hell? So today, if you're not saved, you could begin to have knowledge and wisdom by listening and finding out what to be saved from.
Amen. Yes.
Now, the TV teacher will tell you that you're saved from sickness and you're saved from poverty, but the Bible tells us we're saved from condemnation. You say, well, I love everybody. I don't judge anybody. Yeah, you do. You make judgments every day. What's right? What's wrong? Who's right? Who's wrong? And so that doesn't mean that you hate people because you judge sin. God hates sin. He doesn't hate the sinner. So God has to judge sin. Well, the only place he finds sin is in the sinner.
Come on, bro.
So he has to judge that sinner for his or her sins. Now, if he's a righteous God, he can't let sin in heaven. His son died for sin. And that'd be wasting his son. And hell was created for the devil and his angels. Wasn't he prepared for us? And now, if we get born again, if we get saved, it's not to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. You still might get sick, and there's a lot of poor Christians, and there's some people that's Christians ain't very wise, but if you get saved, you won't have to go to hell.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes.
And some of you young people need to learn this. Your mom and dad can't keep you out of hell. Grandma and grandpa ain't either. It's a personal decision. You're going to have to make a decision. So today I'm going to read you an actual account. This is not a parable, as Jehovah's Witness that comes to your door will tell you this is a parable. Parable means a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's not what this is. This is an actual account. Jesus gives names here. He didn't say about the farm or whatever. He actually gives names. So let's look at Luke 16, if you will, start with verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. He woke up. Being in torments and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now I feel the Lord. Abraham said unto him, they are Moses and the prophets. That's the Old Testament. They have the writings of Moses and all the prophets. They have the word of God. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Not the man, not Lazarus, but the word of God, Moses and the prophets. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, the word of God, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. And Jesus is the proof of that.
Amen. Yes.
Wow, what a passage. What a passage. If you're honest and you'll read that, you'll see some things. Now, we're going to pray and I'm going to give you a little background of what's going on and where, and then I'm going to preach to you. Amen. Now you got to remember, this is a Jewish story and it's talking about Abraham, the father of the Jews. At the time, the heart of the earth, no humans had went to heaven other than Elijah and Enoch. And everybody was in what was called paradise, which was the heart of the earth. And the Jehovah's Witness will come by and they'll tell you that, you know, that was the place of the dead and all this stuff. But the heart of the earth was divided into two places. It was divided into Abraham's bosom. That's what the Jew called it. The Bible also calls it paradise. That's what we would call it, not heaven. And then over here, there's a great divide. And over here was hell, a lake of fire, just burning and burning. And that's where all those that rejected God went. This is where those who were following the teachings of Abraham, Moses, the prophets, that God had created the world. He loved man. That he was creating a way. But man had separated himself from him there in the garden into sin. So there was a way that we could be made right with God. But the Savior wasn't here yet. And you were going to have to trust the ceremonies and the rituals to represent the coming Savior. And a lot of people died that way. Even Gentiles, there are a lot of Gentiles died that way. But then over here are those who rejected that. Now these two people on planet Earth, Lazarus, the rich man, and they're living their life. And the point is not they were rich or poor. It's got nothing to do with it. And I heard an ignorant preacher preach that one time that the rich man went to hell because he was rich and the poor man went to heaven because he was poor. That's as far from biblical truth as you can get. That's straight from the devil. That's not what this says. Lazarus died believing that God was going to save him in the end somehow. So he woke up in Abraham's bosom, paradise. The rich man didn't care about God. He counted on his stuff and his money and his position in life that maybe he'd stand before God and God say, you're a pretty good fellow. I'm going to let you in. But that ain't the way it happens. And the Bible says he lift up his eyes immediately after death. You open your eyes somewhere else and he opened his in hell. That's what the Bible says. I didn't make that up. The Baptists didn't make that up. The Bible says that.
Amen.
And so the place called hell is mentioned more than 30 times in the Old Testament. That'd make you take a little notice. It's mentioned more than 20 times by Jesus himself. Jesus preached 13 times more on hell than he did heaven. God loves us so much that He sent Jesus to suffer our punishment on the cross. That's where He took our hell.
Yeah.
His wounded for our transgressions, His bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace upon Him. Amen?
Amen.
And He took our hell on the cross, so if we would trust Him, that He would take us to heaven when we die. And we could escape the punishment of hell that He took on the cross for us, as our substitute.
Yes.
Now, the subject of hell should be preached and taught just as much as the subject of heaven. But nobody wants to hear about hell. In order to hear about hell, then you got to admit you may be going. Or you got to admit some people you love are going and you're not doing a stinking thing about it.
Preaching, brother.
Amen. Amen. Not preach much. It won't raise big offerings. It won't build big buildings or denominations. But it's in the Bible and it's described as everlasting punishment in Matthew 25:46. It's described as everlasting fire in Matthew 3:12. I'm using the exact words from the Bible. It's described as a devouring fire in Isaiah 33:14. It's prepared for His devil and His angels in Matthew 25:41. It's a place where human power cannot preserve you from it, Ezekiel 32:27. It's a place where the body suffers, Matthew 5:29. It's a place where the soul suffers, Matthew 10:28. It's a place you'd be wise to avoid in Proverbs 15:24. So the question today is there a place called hell? Well, we know there is. If you look at verse 23 in chapter 16, look at verse 23. And he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom. It is a place where truth is realized too late.
Come on now.
I used to laugh about hell. All my friends laughed about hell. We're going to party in hell. All right, the people we listened to made songs, Highway to Hell. By the way, the guy that made that song wrote it. He got killed in a car wreck the next day after he sang that song. Hell's bells and all this stuff. But there's going to be a day to where everybody on planet Earth that is not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, not saved by the blood of the Lamb, has not put their complete trust in Him to take them to heaven, it's a truth that they're going to realize, but it's going to be too late.
Yeah, right.
Look at verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue for I'm tormented in this flame. Now listen, there's an eternal, unquenchable fire in hell. Eternal, unquenchable, and it's punishing, and it's flames, and it's forever. Now, the Mormons will teach you there's no such thing as literal hell, but there's a place that ain't a great heaven, and you can go by following the teachings of Joseph Smith. And if you get to be a real good Mormon and you used to be a Baptist, they'll rebaptize you and let you go into the second heaven. That was the bottom heaven. They let you go up a rack. And if you're a man and you do great works, then you can become a god and go up to the first heaven. That's nowhere in Scripture.
Right.
Sounds real good.
Yeah.
And if I was ignorant enough to believe that, I'd think, well, that's a good deal. Amen.
Oh,
wouldn't you? Yeah. Besides that, you get all those wives you want in heaven. One's enough. You know, Solomon became a drunk after he had 300 wives. It's the truth. Now, you listen to me. It is a fact that it's real.
Yes.
Now people come and look, it's amazing how intelligent people are who have never read the Bible. And how they will argue with you over heaven and hell. I mean, they'll argue argue with a preacher that's been preaching for 37 years. They'll argue with me over heaven and hell, and they've never read the Bible. Yeah. Brother Everett, you ever went to the doctor and he said, look, we're going to have to work on this knee. And you said, no, it ain't my knee, doc. He said, yeah, we're going to have to do this, we're going to have to do that. And you said, no, vinegar will fix it. Well, why'd you go to the doctor? Well, why'd you ask me if you didn't want to know the truth? Amen. But it's amazing. They say, well, that's not really fire. That's symbolic of something else. Yeah. Well, my Bible says in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment because the flames are tormented him. Did you know in verse 25, look at verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember. Son, remember that thy lifetime. Did you know that hell is a place of eternal memory? And wait a minute, don't stop there. Eternal regrets.
Come on now, yeah.
I've been saved since 1978 and I got some regrets. Some regrets from before I was saved. And I've got some regrets of after I was saved. And those things that torment you, especially as you get older, you know, I could have been a better dad, I could have been a better husband, I could have been a better teacher, a better preacher, I could have been a better employee, I could have been a better example, all these things, and you'll lay awake at night, and those things are just what will attack you. And some of you young people, you don't know, because see, your head's full of sawdust right now, and you can lay down and go to sleep just like that. But as you get a little learning and experience under your belt, they're going to be sleepless nights. And a lot of those because of memories and regrets. Can you imagine being in hell and having every... My memory's terrible, but you go to hell, your memory's going to be perfect again. And your regrets are going to multiply because you're going to think of all the missed opportunities and all the times you heard the gospel and all the times that you rejected the gospel and all the time you got mad at mama because she wanted you to go to Sunday school and all the times you got mad at daddy because he wanted you to live right. You're going to have regrets all your life. How you messed up that first marriage. How you messed up that good job. How you messed your children up. Amen. I don't want that. I want to wake up in heaven and have perfect bliss.
Amen.
My wife said if ignorance is bliss, Ron Roddy skips to work every day. No, she didn't really say that. She didn't really say that. Or did you? It's eternal regrets, eternal memory. I don't want that. I do not want that. I don't want that. If you're honest, you don't want that either.
Come on now. Yeah.
Well, everything in my life's been good. Liar, liar, pants on fire. If you're over 12 years old, you done learned some things already. All life ain't good. I don't want that. Look at verse 26. In verse 26, he said, beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. Did you know between, now, later on, now let me finish the story. If you go read the Gospels, Jesus suffered and died for our sins on the cross. They put him in the grave. And then whenever he got out of the grave, he led captivity captive. He emptied paradise and took it up to heaven. Because he paid for their sins. They could go to heaven. Before that, they couldn't go. Nobody paid for their sins. But they were trusting God and he'd send somebody to do that. So he took them up to glory. Now at the center of the earth is nothing but hell. By the way, that's scientifically correct too. Even scientists tell you the core of the earth is molten rock. A lake of fire. Now we can't even drill down there. It's so deep and there's so much rock we can't drill down there. But I'll tell you this, it's just as true. I knew it before the scientists said it because the Bible said it.
Amen.
So if there was a great gulf fixed between paradise and hell, nobody crossed from here over there, nobody crossed from here over there, and he couldn't come put a wet finger on the tongue of the rich man. That's all he wanted. Well, not a drop. He wanted a wet finger. He must have been punished. Amen. It must have been off. You see people dying, a lot of times you get that little sponge or a little spray and you get, give them just a little bit of water. This is eternal dying and never dying. But there's a great gulf fix. So whenever Jesus died and he took captive, he took them up into heaven with him, guess what? It's all hell now. So the distance between heaven and hell is even farther.
Amen.
And that Catholic priest that calls himself father, he's never been married, never had a legitimate child. Right. Listen, he wears a gown. And he comes along and he tells you that there's a purgatory. That if you'll just listen to him and give him $25 and say, Hail Mary, that you can get, you won't have to spend but 10 days in purgatory. Well, that's a lie right out of hell.
Amen.
There is no purgatory. There's two places, heaven or hell. That's it. That's it. Don't let these crooks lie to you. They're crooks. The Bible says they're making merchandise of men's souls.
Amen.
You say, I wouldn't say that. I know. And God knows it too. Amen. But let me tell you something. It's true. Now, there's a great gulf. Brother Ron, no matter how much I love people, no matter how much I love my kinfolks, once they go to hell, there is no return. Not here or there. I can't pray them out. I can't buy them out. I can't plead or beg them out. Nobody else can. There's one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus, and he gave them the ultimatum. Believe on me and be saved. Don't be damned. That's what he said. He that believeth not is condemned already because he's not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And a lot of people think, well, he won't send me to hell. I'm a pretty good guy. Well, the Bible says there's none good. No, not one. All we have seen, every one of us, all we like sheep have gone astray. There's none that seeketh after God. And when you say, well, I'm pretty good, that you just sinned when you did that.
Amen.
Pride.
Yeah.
And lying too.
No.
You're not admitting the bad part. You're only admitting the good part. None of us are good. And compared to God's standard of good, we'll never live up to that.
Amen.
You can't even keep the first commandment.
Amen.
Amen. How are you going to deal with the other nine if you can't get past the first one? And the wages of sin is death. And in that, it means separation from God. And separation from God is hell. He said, Father, just send Lazarus over here. And if he'll dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. And he said, there's a great divide, son. It won't happen. Now, if you go to hell, that's your final destination. I think there's a couple of people in here lately moved. I heard one talking about buying another house and moving again. I ain't moving again. We moved in that house. It's enough fussing to move in one house.
Yeah.
You husbands know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Listen, when we moved in that house, I said, that's my final move. My next one's up.
Yeah.
I'm not changing addresses again. I'm going up. Amen?
Amen.
Why could you say that with such authority? Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. March the 5th, 1978, I put it on him. And if I die and go to hell, it's going to be trust in him and nothing else. Not me. I'm not good.
Amen.
Better than I used to be, but I ain't good as I ought to be a lot of times. Got quiet there for a minute. Amen. Then I want you to notice verse 27 and verse 28. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Oh my goodness. Why would he say that? For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You know, God answers just about any prayer. He's a prayer answering God. Amen. But this is one prayer that will never be answered. That is an unanswerable prayer. Now you look at me and you listen. I'm about through. Look up here and listen. You ought to love your folks right now.
Yes.
Brother, sister, mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa, children, grandchildren. You ought to love them right now. Because if they die and go to hell, you're not going to get another chance. And then on top of that, you ought to love them so much that you tell them about Jesus.
Yes.
And you warn them about hell.
Yes.
I read it first. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You say, you're not going to know anything. They're not going to know anything about eternity or eternal things or heaven or hell until somebody teaches them there's a God in heaven that is to be feared. And then once they fear God, just like me, once they really fear God, they'll start thinking about heaven and hell.
Amen. Yeah.
I was talking, Danny's not here today, and he usually patrols the grounds, and I was talking to a couple guys a while ago, and I told him, you know, at least go out and go around one time, especially on Sunday night, because I was that bunch that used to steal things out of your car and take your gas while you was in church on Sunday night. Seriously, I ain't bragging on that. What I'm saying is this, I was ignorant. I was ignorant of the things of God. Look up here, boys. Look up here. I was ignorant of God. I was ignorant of the things of God. I had no fear of God at all. Not one bit was I afraid of God. Until people started telling me things about Him. I wasn't raised in church. Didn't know a Bible verse. Wouldn't know one if you'd quote it to me wrong. I wouldn't have known the difference. But I know this now. The fear of the Lord is just the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. So you love, boy, we say, well, we love our family, we love our friends, we love our husband, our wife, all this stuff, and we sit around and we know we're going to heaven. We've been saved by the grace of God. We've received Jesus as our personal Savior, and we never share it with our children, our grandchildren, or those that live in our house and that we interchange speech with and all these things. We don't really love those people.
Amen.
Unless we do share
Amen.
The good news. I've told this story one time, probably five times, three since we've been over here. We used to do Awana. My wife and I helped start the first Awana club in York County at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Back in the 1980s, we'd drive a bus all over Rock Hill, pick up kids, take them up there. We lived in Rock Hill. And we might have 30, 40, 50, 60 kids on that bus take up there. And we take them, we lived in Rock Hill Homes, so a lot of them came out of Rock Hill Homes. And, if you never lived in Rock Hill Homes, you just missed a blessing. but we'd take them. And, this woman called me one day and said, my son won't be going to Awana's anymore. I said, why not? He was about 10 years old, 8 or 10. She said, because last night he came home afraid. He couldn't sleep. And said he got to crying and said he was afraid he was going to hell. And the preacher had preached a message on hell and scared him. I said, well, that's good. She said, no, it's not good. She said, that's not good. She said, he's got no business telling a 10-year-old they'll go to hell. And I said, well, wait a minute. If you don't believe on Jesus, you go to hell. And if he's old enough to understand that. She said, well, I told him not to worry about it. He's going to be fine. I'll take care of him, and he'll never be at that church again. Click. Now, I'd hate to be a parent that woke up in hell and then had to ask God to send somebody from the dead to go to my house to tell my children about Jesus, heaven and hell. But we say we love them, and we say we care about them. We say we're really concerned about them. But if you wait till you die and go to hell to pray for them, it's too late.
Come on, man.
Clinton, you know what he said? He said, would you send Lazarus, he's already in paradise, would you send Lazarus over and tell him about my five brothers and warn them not to come to this place? Five. Going to hell just like him, five more. If I'd have been Abraham, I'd have said, son, you should have told him that yourself. But then he said something peculiar. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Well, Moses and the prophets were not alive at that time. He's talking about the Word of God. The first five books was written by Moses. And then the prophets and the chronicles and the king. And let me tell y'all something. I don't care who the preacher is, who the teacher is, who the personality is. Even these faking football players, baseball players, race car drivers, and all other kind of sports stars that drag people out of church on Sunday to come watch them play, and then they give a great testimony. I don't care who they are. They cannot convict a person of sin. Only God can do that.
Amen. Yes.
Sometimes people tell me this, I want you to go see the so-and-so. Anybody knows me, I don't mind, I'll go see anybody. You know, I will. And they'll say, well, they probably cuss you out. And I say, it won't hurt, I've done a little cussing before I got saved myself. Amen. Well, see, they'll get mad at you. I say, I'm sorry, and I got mad too. People tell me about it, but I got over it. But they'll send me to send people. But for some reason, they think I have a magic bullet or something. You know what would work better than me? If you get right with God and you tell them.
Yeah. Come on now. Yeah, there it is.
Because see, they know you. Yeah. Yeah. They think I grew up under a glass bubble. I never did anything wrong. And I don't know anything about bad stuff. And I don't know anything about heartache or disappointment. Because see, he's the pastor. Nice clothes. He's got a nice wife and children. He don't know nothing about this kind of stuff. But you get thoroughly right with God and walk in there and say, please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. I love you. What can I do to get you to Jesus? Please don't go to hell. And they'll know you mean it.
Come on now. Yeah.
Won't you look at your youngin' sometime and say, listen, baby, I don't want you to go to hell. All my kids had a drug problem growing up. I drug them to Sunday school. I drug them to preaching on Sunday morning. I drug them to preaching on Sunday night. I drug them to preaching on Wednesday night. I drug them to camp. I drug them to youth meetings and youth rallies. I drug them all over this country. Drug them to Awana Club. Everywhere that they had the Bible and everywhere they was preaching the Word of God, I got my children there so they could be exposed to the Word of God. They are Moses and the prophets. Let him listen to them. He said, no, Lord, no, no, Father. But if somebody risen from the dead, we'd go tell them. They'd listen. You know what he's wanting? He's wanting old poor crippled Lazarus, who's now not poor nor crippled, to lead glory, walk back across time on planet Earth, and go there and talk to his heathen brothers. And they didn't think nothing about Lazarus when he was laying outside the man's gate.
That's right. Right, come on.
But if he rose from the dead, well, let me tell you something. The creator of the universe died for my sins, laid in the grave 3 days, three nights, got up, walked out, and they still don't believe it.
Come on, man. Yeah.
See, the problem is a lot of people just don't believe there really is a hell. And it doesn't matter what the Bible says about it because they don't care what the Bible says. And they don't care about what the preacher says. And they don't care about what the Sunday school teacher says. But you know when they're going to care? When it's too late. Some of you young people, you come tiptoeing and prancing around here like you're the greatest gift to this place. And let me tell you something. You're a dirty, rotten sinner just like the rest of us. And I don't care how much mama pets you. And I don't care how much daddy pets you. They're going to pet you right into hell. Tell you you're good and ain't nothing wrong with you. There is something wrong with you. You're born wrong just like the rest of us. And you've sinned and you need a Savior just like the rest of us.
Amen.
If any parent got mad at that, you need to get saved.
Right. Come on, man. Yeah.
Now listen. If the rich man had gotten born again and didn't go to hell, you know it would have made a great difference at least five houses, I know. That one man would have got right with God. Five houses, he had five brethren, that five houses would have been affected. When I got saved, I called my mama one Sunday night, and I was crying. I cried for about 2 or 3 days after I got saved. It was just so good. I can't explain it. And I was crying. I said, "Mama, I got something I got to tell you. I got saved, Mama." Then she started crying. I said, "Mama, you all right? If you're sick, I'll come down there. I can be down there in 15, 20 minutes." She said, "No, I'm not sick. I'm happy."
Amen.
My mom said, "You know what? It changed my whole family. God did that. We wasn't close. Brother Everett, we never hugged each other's neck and said, 'I love you.' We never did that. My mama didn't do that. We never looked out for one another. We never had compassion on one another. I remember I was in a car wreck when I was 14, had 36 stitches right there. And I was on the elevator at the hospital in Lancaster. And I woke up, they was taking me to surgery. I hadn't had the stitches yet. And as I was going up, my mom and my older brother, Larry, who was about, I don't know, 8 years older than me or something like that, he was standing there, and he's the first one I saw. He said, "That'll teach you to ride with youngins." That's how compact. He was really saying, "I hate you in this shape." We didn't know any better. But then I got saved, and then I started telling them I love them. Start praying for them. My older brothers, I couldn't sit down and talk to them. I was so much younger than them. My oldest brother was like 19 years older than me. But after I got saved, I sat down and wrote him a letter, and I said, "I know we don't have the same father." I said, "But we got the same mother. And I love you."
Amen.
And I got born again. I put a little in there, and then I said, "And I want you to go to heaven too." You know, none of them ever mentioned that letter, but it changed the whole atmosphere of that family. Now, I'm going to read you two verses, and I promise you I'm quitting. I said all that to say this. Verse 22 in the book of Jude, there's only one chapter. Verse 22 says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." You know, if you have a little compassion on people, they look at me and they say, "Boy, don't quit drinking that liquor. You're going to hell." I say, "I know, I'm going to hell. If there's a hell, I'm going. Boy, if you don't quit cussing like that, you're going to hell." I say, "I know, everybody knows you're going to hell if there's a hell. Boy, if you don't quit going to church, if you don't start going to church, boy, you're going to go to hell." I say, "I know." But then one day that preacher preached with tears in his eyes. He said, "You don't have to go to hell. Please don't go to hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell. The Holy Ghost doesn't want you to go to hell. God the Son doesn't want you to go to hell. He died so you wouldn't have to go to hell. And the church doesn't want you to go to hell. Nobody in this building wants you to go to hell. Please don't go to hell." Having compassion on some, making a difference. And then there was another one. Verse 23. "And others saved with fear." You see that? Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know what that means?
Yes.
You know what that means, Brother Holden? Others saved with fear. I'm afraid for them. I'm feared for them. They're going to hell. So you know what I do?
Yes.
Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. Please don't go to hell. I'll holler. I'll fuss. I'll cry. I'll give up. Please don't go to hell.
Yeah.
That's what that means. I didn't mean for that to be funny.
Amen.
Please don't go to hell.
Amen.
I'll preach and make you mad at me.
Yeah.
I'll holler and make you embarrassed at me. But please don't go to hell. I'll give offerings to build buildings. I'll do whatever I got to do. But please don't go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. The price has been paid. But if you go to hell, there's no price that can get you out. No more crying, no more weeping, no more praying, no more pulling. It's going to get you out. Please don't go to hell.
Amen.
Look at this. He said, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know what that means? Well, to hate whatever it is in these people's flesh, that's going to take them to hell. I hate drugs. I hate narcotics. I hate it. I hate it. It's dragging more people off to hell, and they're going blind and deaf and numb. I hate alcohol. Doing the same thing. I hate Hollywood. It's doing the same thing. I hate NFL. It's doing the same thing. I hate any of this worldly entertainment in churches. It's doing the same thing. It's spotted by the flesh, and they're going to go to hell unless we do something. Do you believe in hell? I mean, do you really believe in hell? Young people, look up your eyes and pray. Do you really believe in hell enough that you'll ask Jesus to save you and accept the full pardon and forgiveness that God offers you by letting His Son die in your, and take your hell on Him? Will you believe it enough to come to Him today? Christian, do you believe it enough that you will have compassion on some, make a difference in their lives? Do you believe it enough that you will, if you have to, drag, pull, beg, fuss, whatever it takes to get them to Jesus? If you do, listen to this, if you do, if you'll really get a glimpse of what hell really is, Deborah's not here today, right? I can tell this story. We used to pick up kids, and Deborah's kids would ride our bus to church when they were little. Deborah Swinton, y'all know. And there was a little boy hung around the neighborhood, and all the kids would ride our bus except him. He was back then, I called him sling heads. He'd let his hair grow out, and he kept slinging it back, you know. And he rode a skateboard. He rode a skateboard everywhere. He was young, about 13, I think. And he was the ringleader in that neighborhood, you know. And there was an old abandoned house. He'd get those boys in that old house, and they would sniff gasoline, to get high. And one day, they were all sitting around in a circle, and it was in the wintertime, so they were cold, so they built a fire in the middle of the floor. And these boys passing around this jug of gas, and they pass it. And I've been to those things when I was a kid, stuff like that. And then you know what happens when you get drunk? You know, a drunk, he'll take his beer or something. He'll just pour it. Well, the old boy got so high, he took that can of gas, and he just went. And it went down off of him and across the floor into that fire. Poof. Now, kids, I'm going to tell you where your friends are going to go when that happened. They ran. And that boy jumped up, he ran outside, rolled himself in the ground, in the grass, trying to get the fire out. And when he got up to, I think it was Deborah's porch, when he got up there, he was still a little bit on fire, and somebody put him out. And they took him to the hospital, and they flew him to the burn unit, I think it was in Greenville. And 2/3 of his body was burnt beyond repair. And he laid in that place and died. But you know, the sad thing is, that's nothing compared to hell. Now you listen to me, young people, you're not invincible. And you don't know how long you're going to live. Let's stand. Father, thank you. I preached too long. But Lord, I pray you'd bless the sermon. Somebody here today, crowd this size, probably is not saved. They're probably not saved. They know they're not saved. And they're wise enough to know that they need to fear God.